So we've been looking at our theme for today, and our theme is, I Got Your Number. And we've been in the book of Numbers with our first lesson and also our Bible class, looking at the nature of God and people, a book of rebellion against God. And so we want to continue to look at that on our second lesson here on today. And so our text will be Numbers chapter 13, if you'll turn there. And in Numbers chapter 13, I want us to look at and consider this lesson because it really deals with leadership and fellowship. And that's what we want to talk about with this lesson here. And we appreciate so very much the opportunity that God has given us. So you can see why when I was doing the class a little bit earlier, I didn't want to talk too much about Numbers chapter 13 and 14 because I knew it was going to be the lesson. And even then I was saying things. I said, oh, don't say that. That's your lesson. Don't say that. Save that. Save it. And I probably wasn't too successful with that. So perhaps you'll hear something that's being repeated. I apologize for that. But that's how it is when you have things so closely related. A lesson on leadership and fellowship. And here's the title of our lesson. Lead by your feet and not by your butts. Lead by your feet and not by your butts. So in Numbers chapter 13, we begin to read the first three verses there. And here's what the Bible says. It's the story of the spies being sent out, of course. The Bible says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which, listen, I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. The instruction given to Moses from God is pick leaders, heads of Israel, important people, mighty men, men of influence, men that's going to come back and speak to that whole section of people that believe in them from their own tribe, their own kindred, if you will. Choose one from each tribe and send them out and spy out the land. Well, verses 4 through 16 gives you all the names of the men that was chosen. We won't read those names because 10 of them are not important anyway. The only names that are important in that 12 is Joshua and Caleb. And that's why we name our sons today Joshua and Caleb. We don't call our sons these other names because they're failures. And so when we pick up at verse number 17, the Bible says, then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So God has his instruction to Moses. Moses is given the instruction to the men, just as God told him to do, go out into the land and spy it out. And go and bring back a report as to what you see. Because you are a leader. And you're going to have influence over a whole lot of people when you come back. So go see what you need to see. Consider all these things that we're given, if it's this or that. And when you come back, bring some of the fruit of the land with you as proof as to what is there. These are instructions that's given to leaders. And when we look at leaders, we need to understand that some lead and all that lead aren't equal. And so we began to look what the Bible has to say. Pick up at verse number 23 with me, where the Bible says this. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. 40 days they are in this strange land to spy it out. 40 days, a lot of conversation can take place between 12 men. As they begin to consider and see what they see and notice, compare their notes and did you see this? But did you see this? So they've been there for 40 days. And now they have returned. And the Bible says, as we begin to look at what is taking place, God sent leaders there with the intent for them to lead with their feet. But the Bible says this at verse number 28. Let's start at verse 27. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. Listen, it truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." Verse 28. My translation says, "Nevertheless." Another word for nevertheless is never the best. Another word for nevertheless is but. The land truly flows with milk and honey, just like God said it would. And we have brought back the evidence, the proof. Here's the fruit. But God sent them out to lead with their feet. But they are choosing to lead with their butts. Now, if you lead with your feet, that tells me you're walking forward. Am I right? If you lead with your butt, that means you're walking what? Backwards. God did not send you out there to walk backwards. God sent you out there to walk forward. Remember, your journey, you're traveling. You're going to the promised land. You are the leaders. And all that God said was there is true. God did not lie about the cluster of grapes. I mean, it was so big, it took two men on a pole to carry just one cluster of them. Now, I know Publix got good grapes, but I don't think he even compared to what we're reading about here in the Word of God. The land was fertile. It was a good land. That's why it can bear fruit like this. It's everything that God said it would be. But the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Listen, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and all along the banks of Jordan. Now, I don't recall Moses asking anything like this from them. But now they're going to add in all these other supposed to be problems. Remember now, these are leaders. Now, when we get to verse number 30, the greatness of Caleb comes out. Again, that's why you name your sons Caleb, because Caleb is a great man. Caleb knew exactly what was taking place here. When these men began to tell all these stories about, you know, they got giants in the land and some in the mountains and some by the sea. And He can see what they're doing to the people. So the Bible says in verse number 30, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. So you got a clash that's going on now. You got a division. You got 10 men, 10 spies who are saying, no, we can't do that. We can't take that place. And Caleb and Joshua, as we will find out later, said, oh, yes, we can. Why can we? Because God already said he's going to give it to us. We're faithful, Caleb and Joshua. But these 10, you see, they're not. Joshua and Caleb want to lead by their feet. The other 10 want to lead by their butts. You know, it's an old story like me when I was growing up, like most young men, you begin to grow up, you begin to think that you are, you know, you arrived. And I remember speaking to my mom and saying certain things, you know, like, you know, I'm growing up now, I'm almost a man, and I'm going to say what this is on my heart. I'm going to say this, Mama. I'm going to just say this to you. My mama looked at me and said, boy, you better sit your butt down. It's correction that was needed. Sit your butt down. What Caleb is telling these 10 spies, y'all need to sit your butts down. You said that we can't. God has already said that we can. Who do we trust? God says we can do it. And Caleb, remember that. Caleb, remember God said, I'm going to give it to you. Caleb said, yes, we can go up there and take it. I don't care how strong they are. I don't care how big they are. I don't care where they dwell. They can be in the mountains, by the sea. It doesn't matter, because God has already said that it belongs to us. That's leading by your feet and not leading by your butt. But I told you earlier, listen to what people say, but when they say but, that is what they really want to say. But we can't do it. They don't believe in God, you see. They don't believe God can do what he says that he's going to do. This is an example of two good leaders and 10 bad leaders. I told you all leaders aren't the same. Never have been, never will be. Some lead well, some don't. How they got in that position, I don't know. They're there, but just because they're there don't make them a good leader. You have to lead, in this case, by God's way. Whatever God tells you to do. Some men get in leadership and they just get beyond themselves. Well, I'm in charge now. What I say, go. And even amongst in the case of elders, you have some elders, an eldership, where one elder tries to dominate the rest of the elders. That's ungodly. Those men are equal. Johnny Bryant, who became an elder at Arlington 2 weeks ago, his voice is equal. Because he's in the position now. I don't care how many years you done served before him, it means nothing. You may have some experience, but that man's voice, because that man has to give an account to God, just like the others, his voice is equal. Well, when you have these 10 spies going about the business, whatever they fear may be, rebelling against God is what they're doing. Thank God for Joshua and Caleb, who believe God and trust God. So Caleb tried to do all he can. Y'all need to be quiet. Y'all need to stop this. You're destroying God's people. You're giving them a faint heart. You're taking their focus off God and you're putting it back on men. It's never left up to us to do anything. It was always going to be God that's going to give us anything. Then we read at verse number 31. The Bible says, but the men, listen, this is your clash. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and we were in their sight. They gave the children of Israel a bad report. They were negative. They were rebellious. They caused the people, look at chapter 14, verse 1. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. That's what happens when you give a bad report. That's what happens when you're negative. That's what happens when you're a poor leader. You cause all the people to stay up all night long weeping because now they are afraid. You took their focus off God and now you placed it on them. Well, we can't go up. Well, there's giants in the land. Well, we're just grasshoppers in their eyes. We can't do this. And all along, they're rebelling against God. If a giant lives, a giant would die. If God put him there and created him, God can take him out. There is no giants when it comes to God. All submit to God Almighty. God is God. And if God says he's going to do something, whether you're a giant, cowboy, or whomever else, you ain't going to stop it. God has spoken. And these 10 spies led with their butts and not by their feet. When God tells you and I to do something, God wants us to follow what he says, believe in what I said, follow me, use your feet, not your butts. I don't need your butts. Your butts going to get you in trouble every time. I can do this, but if it wasn't for this, but your butt will always get in the way. Lead. Go, follow that which is right. And if you do that, you will be blessed. Fear came upon these people because of poor leadership. Thank God, Oceanside has great leadership. Always has. Always been so grateful to be associated with this place because great leadership, great men of God who love God, who stand by the word, make sure nothing comes in impure, but to teach God's word and God's word only. That's why you've been blessed with tremendous preachers through the years, because you have great elders who vet men, who want to know what they're going to teach, who know what they're going to teach. Why? Because you don't want to give the people a bad report. They truly will weep all night. Thank God, not just for leaders. Thank God for great leaders, good leaders. And if you have some, if you have a set, love them, support them, pray for them, wish them well, that they may continue to serve God, because it's your souls that they're going to have to give an account to God for. Isn't that something? God is going to ask each and every one of them, what about this one, AC? What did you do with this one? Well, Lord, I forgot about that one. Well, Lord, I don't know. Could I have done? Oh, it's a tremendous, overwhelming proposition to be a leader in God's church, the Lord's church. And if you have some and you have good ones, love them and pray for them and help them, because they're only trying to help you to make heaven your home. Thank God for Joshua. Thank God for Caleb. Great leaders. Those tens, they don't matter. God wiped them out anyway with a plague when it was all said and done. Why? Because you hurt my people. Don't hurt God's people. And that's a lesson for leaders. And it's a lesson for fellowship as well. See, the lesson is about leadership and fellowship. Without any fellowship, there's no need for leadership. A great leader will learn how to follow. A great leader is always following. You're following Christ and his word, what God says in his word. You're always going to follow, right? And again, if you have men like that, support them, because they deserve it, they earn it, and it's a great thing that they love you enough that they're willing to put their souls at stake for you. That's enough. That was enough for me when I was growing up, when I was much younger, when I had elders for the first time, when I came back home from Louisiana to Jacksonville and sat under eldership for the first time. I looked at those men. I said, these men have put it on the line for me. They deserve my support, and I'm going to do all I can to help them. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to help them. And you know what? I told the rest of the congregation, don't be talking about my elders around me, because if I hear it, I'm going to tell them. Why? They deserve that, because they put their souls on the line for me. And that's the way we should be. But I know that's not a problem here at Oceanside. I know you love your elders, and you should. To God be the glory when it comes to that. Lead by your feet and not by your butts. Remember that one, okay? God bless you. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, you can be. Come by hearing his word. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You need to believe that word. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Bible says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he to come to God must believe that he is, and has rewarded them that diligently seek him. Then you need to repent of your sins. Luke chapter 13 and verses 3, Jesus said, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Then you need to confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Matthew chapter 10. Verses are 32 and 33. It says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you for my Father which is in heaven. Then you need to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 8, Peter told him, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then you need to remain faithful until the end. Revelation chapter 2, and the verse is 10. Be thou faithful unto death. If you're here today and you have not been faithful, you need to be restored. James chapter 5, verse 16. Come, let the saints pray along with you. Bring that fervent prayer that God will hear and God will restore you. Put you back where you need to be. That's what needs to happen on today. Or if you need a prayer, you know someone it is. Why don't you come and together we stand and sing the Imitational Song.